7th Avenue Pizza, the official pizza of the Soda Pod.
The Soda Pod, the official beer and hockey podcast of 7th Avenue Pizza.
Darkness, my old friend, I've come to talk with you again.
Episode 107 here on NNCAA. It is Tears of Sadness, Disappointment. Welcome, Max Veach, to segment number two. And yeah, darkness is here for at least UMD, St. Cloud. Still a darkness over them as there's still a long road to get an at-large bid or to try to somehow get themselves to the NCHC championship game. Max, welcome back, my friend, and good to see you.
You know, I knew something was up when I saw the recording started, and then you said, you know, maybe we'll get there. I was like, oh no, it's already recording. I should have known that you had something else already queued up. Regardless, it's very, very, I don't know if apt or apropos is the more appropriate phrase or word to use there.
Showing but, your age now, Max. Jesus.
Yeah. but yeah, no, I mean, that's totally fair. All is fair in love and war. And I'm not sure which part of that I fall under right now, but deserved nonetheless.
It's, well, you can take it one of two ways, right? What has been a very rough season for the Bulldogs did come to an official end this past weekend. Denver taking care of business at Magnus Arena in two games. In the best of three, I suppose, and kind of where do you sit with this, right? And it's, you know, there were some glimmers of hope here and there, but it just felt like this season UMD just never really got the traction, the consistency it needed. There were flaws up and down the lineup. There were some bright spots, no question, but it just feels like this was a time from at least the fan perspective. I want to make sure we're clear on that, that this was probably like, okay, sorry, like this one's over with. Do you kind of feel that way?
I do. And it's sad to say that because there are a lot of guys on this team who are incredible players and incredible people. And, you know, they kind of embody what college hockey is all about. And that doesn't always mean, you know, going on to play in the NHL or at the next level overseas or wherever else. Sometimes it is like, it is what it is. You're a college athlete and that's the cap of where you're at. And that doesn't necessarily mean you're a bad hockey player. It's just, that's where it's, that's where the journey ends for some of them. So, I have no ill will against anybody on the team this year. I just think that it was one of those things where it's a growing year for one reason or another for many of the guys there, and we'll see where it goes. But yeah, there was a sigh of relief just in terms of, you know, there's no more nervous weekends now. It's just watching hockey to watch hockey, and it's not that I haven't been, you know, keeping a close eye on everybody else around the league, but I don't have to have, you know, 50% of my attention on UMD anymore. And it's more of a enjoyment factor, some slight rooting interest just for my own selfish wants and desires. But as far as UMD is concerned, looking forward, I don't want to say that I'm looking past all the people that are leaving because there are some pretty significant names and we can get into that later. But yes, you hit the nail on the head in terms of season ending is bittersweet, as most people's will be. Only one person gets to celebrate until next year. So yeah
it's tough, right? Duluth finishes the season 12-20-5, yet somehow still finish any above anybody in the CCHA. That tells you something. Duluth at 30th in the pairwise, so unfortunately with that will not have an at-large bid to the round of 16, as some would call it, to the NCAA tournament. Mind you, that selection, so just 6 days from the time of recording. And I think you nailed it here, Max, because, you know, often lost in, you know, a season like this is, you know, you do have bright spots. You do have guys that performed. You had guys that showed up. It just was the collaborative, right? Just wasn't good enough. And obviously throughout the off season, we'll talk Chun more and what we can look forward to, because there are some pretty significant help on the way for UMD. And if there's anything we've noticed over the tenure, especially of Scott Sandlin, is these types of seasons are few and far in between. And generally, you know, it's a one-off kind of situation. So if there is sort of a light at the end of the tunnel, not that this helps console where we're at today, but I think from the fans' perspective, just know that this is not something we expect to continue. And I do think the Bulldogs are going to be quite improved as early as next season.
Yeah, I mean, through my limited research and just seeing things online, I think there's only two seasons under Sandlin that have had fewer wins. One of them was his first season taking over their team, which I think anybody can expect to have a slow start. And then one 11-win season, which is just one worse than this. And that was prior to their championship, I believe, as well, or their first championship, I should say. So, it is very hard to see a team struggle this much. I don't want to say it's the same thing as last year, because I think there were a few different struggles, but it was very similar. A lot of, you know, close games that they weren't able to finish, bad bounces here or there, like really deciding things. Lack of, maybe not lack of effort, that's not necessarily how I want to phrase it, but, you know, not being the first guy to pucks, just the face-off battle was, I need to go through and figure out what the actual numbers were in terms of games where they actually won a face-off battle, because my guess is it's under 5, and that's insane. There's some stuff to be proud of still for the guys that were there and the guys that are coming back. I think there's like you said, help on the way. The sun's going to come up tomorrow, next year, in parentheses there, for it's going to be transcribed into written text. But yeah, I struggle for the words to say at the end of the season, because you want to be critical, but there's no more point in being critical. Nobody's going to learn from any of that stuff. You don't want to praise them too much. Yeah, it was fun. It's a fun college hockey season, even on a down year.
And just for those playing the home game, for those statistical nerds out there, season collective 42.5% on the faceoff dot, which not great, right? That's not going to help win many games. But a couple statistics individually that stand out. I think we have to go back to Ben Steese, 24 goals on the season were 34 points. He was one of just two Bulldogs to have double-digit goals on the season. The other one was Luke Lohide. He just cracked it at 10. Everybody else in the single digits. A lot of assists thrown around, but just, we talked about this, Max, is if there was one thing besides the officiating, yes, I said it, and shall we say the face-off troubles, it really was the depth goal scoring, right? Ben Steeves, again, just masterful at what he does. He's got one of the best releases in all the NCHC. So I'm trying to give him credit where credit's due, but just as I just mentioned, didn't have the support, right? And if there's one thing that I wouldn't at least sort of tend to, which is UMD's probably biggest issue was that they just couldn't find the puck in the back of the net more than just that top line. Is that something you noticed as well?
No, it's absolutely true. They were getting a little bit more blue line help, I think, this year than they had in the past. And that was mostly coming from guys like Pionk and some of the people that were stepping up as younger skaters there. But yeah, outside of those top lines, it was really tough to get anything going. And what's nerve-wracking to me is knowing that there's a good chunk of these players that might not be back next year. We've already seen some other guys signing pro deals and with success that Ben Steves has been having. You're going to get a lot more attention, and I think he deserves all that. I think, you know, personally, he would probably benefit from another college hockey season, just in terms of getting a little bit more size, getting a little bit more, you know, used to the pace of play and physicality and things like that. It's not that he couldn't make a step up and, you know, play in one of these other leagues or even make a short appearance in the NHL. But I think that, you know, there's a lot to be gained. And we've seen it from guys at UMD before that play out a full career, quote unquote career there before moving on. So back to the other point there, if he were to leave, and that's a big if right now, just because we don't have any information, it would be him and Luke Lohite for sure. Biondi was also a senior. I don't know if he would be able to come back or not. McMenamin was a huge help. And then Quinn Olson. So out of those guys, Those are three of your top four players in terms of point getters on the year. And then Luke Lohheit is two below that as well. So you'd be losing a lot of top end talent, and they will be losing a lot of top end talent just with Lohheit, Olsen, and McMenamin. So replacing that's going to be tough, but that just means there's a lot more ice time for some of the other people that were, you know, getting ice time late or, you know, maybe didn't have it this year. So if there's other guys on the team, it should drive a fire under them to get a little bit better in the offseason, and maybe they can capitalize on it and take over those roles themselves.
Yeah, and that's the thing that is nice in college hockey, right? And that is everybody has, you know, just a limited amount of time, right? And sometimes it's 4 years, sometimes it's one, sometimes it's a couple, or anywhere in between, right? And that means that for those who are on maybe more of a traditional trajectory, 3 to 4 years, right? Yep. There's going to be opportunities to earn more ice time, to earn bigger roles, to earn different types of roles, right? So it's not all down. I do want to switch the gear a little bit here, Max, because the NCHE, let's kind of recap where the NCHE is at. The Frozen Faceoff coming up this weekend. North Dakota will face Omaha. How about that? We talked about this last week, Max. Omaha has yet to make it to St. Paul until this year. The last time that they, I believe, made or say won a conference playoff round was, I think, 2005 or 2009, somewhere in there. It's been pre-NCHC.
Early aughts,
And honestly, you know, for me, knowing Mike Gabbin and personally having conversations, as well as getting to talk to Noah Sullivan a couple of different times, great group of kids, great coach. I'm really excited for them, although they did end CC's run. CC still technically in a at-large spot right now, but I really do think there is worth a conversation to the Mavericks, who have yet to make it to this far in the NCHC conference play in terms of the tournament. And it's going to be a new venture for them, and really good for them. Honestly, it was a heck of an effort and a great battle between the number four and number five spots this past weekend.
Yeah, I think that was the most exciting conference game, and maybe even NCAA game or series of the weekend, just because you had the storyline of both of these two teams. Have they haven't been punching bags in the NCHC, but they haven't had the same success that a lot of your other top teams have. Like UMD's had the championships, North Dakota's had all your regular season success, Denver's had a combination of both of those two things. So Western has been in the playoffs for, I don't know, forever, it seems like. But yeah, seeing those two kind of battle it out at the end of the year here has been really, really fun. And you know, the series lived up to all the hype. Your first game going into overtime, controversial calls in the last game. Every one of them was decided by two or less goals, back and forth, every one of them. So it was very, very fun. I think both of them personally still do deserve a spot in the playoffs over some of these other teams. And that's maybe a little bit too critical of the other ones. But it's hard to have that cut line be somewhere and not necessarily know where it is. And you had mentioned it. We don't know what's going to happen with them. I think it was Schlossman or somebody else online, maybe a couple of people had posted it. They're in that weird kind of gray area where they've got to practice all week this week thinking we might be able to play and not knowing until that, you know, those last games are over with next weekend or this upcoming weekend by the time people are listening to this. Because as it stands right now, they've got a 49% chance to make it. That largely, not entirely, but largely depends on Quinnipiac winning that ECAC conference and not allowing Cornell to jump them, or, you know, some other team in there to jump them as well. Because it doesn't matter who's winning the Atlantic or CCHA, because those two are both going to be below them if they were to make that as well. So I think it really, really comes down almost exclusively. I think there's like a 1% chance or one scenario out of however many, insert your Doctor Strange gif here. There's one way that they can make it in with Quinnipiac winning that conference. And I think that has to do with Cornell winning, and it would have to be UMass losing and a bunch of other things. I don't know the specifics. Regardless, they're huge Quinnipiac fans. They're huge favorite fans right now. They need all the favorites to win out in these conference championships. But back to Omaha, they're climbed up. They're 100% in now. They're locked into what seems like it's going to be a 3 seed, and that's going to be good for them. They're hosting a regional, so getting to play in what seems to be or what could be a really hopeful game, not just happy to be their game, I think is huge for them. It's huge for the NCHC, and I'm happy to see it. They kind of deserved it. All the guys on that team have battled really, really hard, especially down this last stretch here. They've had an insane run, 2 losses in the last 15 games, I think it is. It's unheard of, really, from a team like that in college hockey. So good for them.
Pretty crazy, right? Colorado College in the NCHC Frozen Faceoff Championship game just a year ago. Won't even make it to St. Paul this year. Just to show you some of the different things that have happened in this conference in terms of the parity, which actually has been kind of fun to watch, right?
Yeah.
Some of these teams, like you mentioned, it's not that they've been bad, but just haven't really been the names that you would associate with, you know, consistent success. And it's good to see them get a sniff. I think Omaha and CC are going to have more than a sniff in a couple of weeks time. Honestly, I think there are some of the more, shall we say, bigger dark horses coming into the NCAA tournament. Speaking of the ultimate dark horse, St. Cloud State, after taking it to 3 games, does get the job done against Western Michigan, but Max, their job is anything but done. And I have to thank the Bulldogs for putting them in this situation. because we talked about it. We said it, you know, the losses to UMD have put them in this position where I think if you, well, put it this way, if you supposedly had you beaten the Bulldogs both times, you're probably sitting where either CC or Omaha is right now.
Correct.
And it's not that you're completely safe, but you're a heck of a lot more comfortable going into a matchup against Denver. They're the second semifinal on Friday night. That's at 7:30 Central kickoff. Mind you, the entire NCHC Frozen Faceoff on CBS Sportsnet with our good friends Alex Heiner as well as Dave Starman on the call. So right now, the pairwise implications, Max, is that St. Cloud no doubtly has to get by Denver, which is not an easy task. However, I will put this out to you, and we talked about this very briefly, I think, last week or the week prior. When Denver's been a lock in the postseason, especially a top 4 seed, which right now I think they're sitting at, what, 4th?
They're technically tied for 3rd, but they lose the tiebreaker to North Dakota. So, yes, 4.
So they're a 1 seed, right? And when we've seen Denver in this position, let's just say that Denver in the NCHC Frozen Faceoff, they get to St. Paul. It's been 2 quick exits for the Pioneers the past couple of years. And being in the building and watching Denver play, they're not the same team. Now, granted, David Carl won't admit it, and I get why, but it does feel like just the way that they've approached the Frozen Faceoff has been, let's get through this. Let's come away with it unscathed. Let's, shall we say, we're not going to save everything, but we're definitely not putting in our full effort per se, right? It definitely feels that way. So in a very weird, twisted sense, has St. Cloud gotten its best opponent that it could to try to get itself to a championship game on Saturday? Because essentially they've got to at least get there. And as we mentioned, other things are going to have to fall their way. But I would argue that I think getting Denver is their best matchup to make it happen, just based on what I've seen in the past.
I want to argue with you. I want to play devil's advocate here, but I don't know that I would have a leg to stand on there. I think, you know, North Dakota has proven to be a really tough matchup for St. Cloud this year. For almost everybody this year, being honest. So that one is an obvious, you know, out the door. No. And then you see Omaha that we just talked about them 5 minutes ago here. They're absolutely on fire. They're playing at a different level. They're hungry to keep their, you know, keep the train rolling here. They have locked up a spot, so maybe they ease off a little bit, but I don't see why you would change anything up with how they're playing now. You just ride that out the rest of the year and hope the success continues to follow. And, you know, with those two things in mind, Denver's the only one that's left out, and they've shown that they can be exposed here. UMD in that Saturday game last weekend, obviously they did end up losing, but Denver letting up a little bit allowed UMD to come back in late in the game there. It was 3-2 with, you know, a minute and a half left again or something like that. And UMD controlling puck, empty net goals and everything else, leading to the Denver win ultimately. But if St. Cloud can execute to the top of their abilities, I see no reason why they wouldn't be able to beat Denver. And again, you know, you've got Massimo Rizzo and their other center. I can't remember his name. Carter King.
That sounds right.
whatever it is, out again. Maybe they're going to be back next this upcoming weekend. I'm not entirely sure. I see day to day for one and week to week for the other. And as is the case with anything hockey related, as far as injuries or, you know, time away goes, there's never a clear answer, and coaches and players kind of keep that close to the chest. So if they're, you know, not on the ice, and everything that we've just talked about here again, leads me to believe that they would keep those guys off the ice and keep them healthy, give them another week to recover because they've already locked up a playoff spot. That gives St. Cloud a little bit more help and hope in terms of finding a way to claw their way to a win there. And I think they do need to win probably that and another one to make it above the cut line because, I don't see Cornell losing before their championship game either. So they would need quite a bit of help to just make it there and not win and get in. So, I think they do have a chance, and I think it's a pretty good one to make it to that to the Frozen Faceoff championship game. But it'll require a little bit more structure and discipline, staying out of the box and just kind of playing the game that they normally and traditionally have played.
And it's games that we saw in 1-3 against Western Michigan, where, as you mentioned, you know, they got into penalty trouble and in game number two, in fact, had a lead again. And it was the penalties in Western Michigan striking on back-to-back power plays that, you know, switched the momentum from a 1-0 advantage for the Huskies to a 2-1 advantage for Western Michigan. And then the Broncos just simply took it home in game number two, a 6-1 finish. But St. Cloud State, when they were in games 1-3, fast starts, they got goal scoring from the guys that they needed to. Vidi Miatno up to over 20 goals on this season in his senior campaign. And Isaac Pasha, I think, has looked good, the freshman. Mind you, David Renick was in the same position back in 2018 when he started as a freshman in St. Paul. I remember there being conversations about whether they would start a freshman or not. That's kind of a bold move. See how that works out for you, Cotton. I'm not sure, but it certainly feels like it's Pasha's net right now. And it's for St. Cloud, I think you got to feel pretty comfortable about that. Now, it's a different breed in the postseason. It's a different animal playing in St. Paul at the XL Energy Center, all those different, you know, variables at play. Here's the thing. St. Cloud was just here last season. They took the Frozen Faceoff Championship. It's tough to repeat, and it's going to be really tough with the group of four that's there. Max, does St. Cloud have a chance? And or more so, maybe the question is who raises the championship trophy come just about 6 days away from now?
They do have a chance. I mean, I think we just talked about with Denver getting past them is I would probably put that to a coin flip right now, especially if, you know, Rizzo and, you know, they're missing their two centers, their key pieces there in Denver. I would put that game to a coin flip and it would be a close one, but I don't see Omaha or really anybody beating North Dakota, which is insane to say because North Dakota just got beat by Omaha 2 weeks ago. I think it was, they got swept by him. So, it just feels like one of those years where North Dakota is destined to win the Penrose, win the Frozen Faceoff, make it to probably the Frozen Four. And at that point, I would like to see them, you know, not win another national championship just because it's something to hold over the heads of the rest of college hockey, except for Denver. It just feels, I have no reason to back that up. We just talked about all these other things here, but Jackson Blake and the goaltending that they're getting out of two different guys now and just the defensive schemes that they're running. It seems like they're running on all cylinders most nights. If they get caught in an off night, I'm going to look like an idiot here. And that's totally fine with me. It won't be the first time. And I promise it won't be the last, but if I'm picking the team right now, it's North Dakota to win the Frozen Faceoff and, you know, double up on their NCHC championships, quote unquote, for the year.
Yeah, I hate to say that I disagree with you, but I can't, right? North Dakota's just been a wagon this year. They're a tough team to beat. Now, as you mentioned, they're getting the one team that's kind of had their number over the past couple of seasons in that semifinal. That's going to be a barn burner of a hockey game. That is the first semifinal. I believe that one kicks off 4:30 or 4 o'clock or so on Friday night. So that's going to be must-watch hockey. So Max, a recap for those, the NCHC teams and where they stand pairwise, right? So you have North Dakota at third, Denver in that four spot. Again, is technically a tie for third, but Denver getting the fourth overall seed. And then there's a big gap, and then we get, yes, Omaha at 11, Western Michigan at 13, CC at 14, and then St. Cloud, Cornell. I don't know why the three-way tie for 14 doesn't make sense to me, but St. Cloud in that 16th spot. So right now, comfortably three teams in, maybe four, but we'll have to see what happens this past weekend. It's been one hell of a year for the NCHC. That's going to look a little bit different next year. It's going to be up to nine teams. Arizona State joining now will be a full member of the conference. Apparently 26 wins. It's something that should give you an auto bid no matter what you're playing, Max. I still am boggling my mind over that, but that's a story for another episode. Have
one comment on that, and it's something that I, as somebody who watches the NCHC and wants the conference to succeed, just to kind of brag about it and say that we've got the best one continually over and over again, I do love, and I need the teams to stay at 3-4 and 13-14, because based on all the rules and precedent that's been set, 13 and 14 can't play 3 and 4 and would have to be shifted over to 1 and 2. And then, you know, the Denver and North Dakota matchups would be Bemidji and, as of right now, Bemidji and RIT, or, you know, the Atlantic and CCHA representatives, which would drive the East Coast fanatics mad, which is great for me. And then on top of that, you've got the added wrinkle of Omaha being guaranteed a spot and them having to play in Sioux Falls, which as of right now is probably going to be North Dakota's region as well, just because it's close to them and would make the most sense for that as well. But yeah. And then if UMass stays in there, they have to play out East, which makes the most sense to have, you know, either BU or BC, depending on which one is technically closer. I think I just did the math the other day and it was Rhode Island was actually closer for BC, but like 15-minute drive time. So I don't know that they're going to let that make any difference to them. But yeah, it's going to be really, really fun and kind of crazy to see how it shakes out. I saw only two different scenarios that the committee would be able to make things work as it stands right now, and it has zero bracket integrity. There's like a 7-10 and a 5-12 matchup, if I'm remembering those numbers right, that are the only ones that are actually preserved through shifting everything around. Which would be maybe not a first. I would have to go back and look at all the different brackets, and none of them ever make sense. I always get it wrong, but it'll be fun. Regardless of how it shakes out, it'll be fun. And back to what I was originally saying, as an NCHC fan, getting those two 13-14 swapped with 15-16 would be incredible.
It would be fun. Also, Max, another reason why we need to expand the playoffs, even if it's by a couple. Yeah. Just my thought. We're going to save that for another discussion. But again, unfortunately, UMD season over. St. Cloud State hanging by a thread, needing at least one more win, probably maybe even two. But if they get that second one, they're in no matter what. That would be an auto bid if they win the NCHC Frozen Faceoff Championship. Last and final segment is up next. It's our CCHA team, which is also down to one remaining member. That's up next here in NCAA.